Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent Bible teacher and lovely wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Ta-da, my dear. Lot going on all around us, but before we get into all that, let's ask God to show us his favor.
Yes. Okay. Abba, Father, as we have now entered the week for the official season of summer, we continue to give you alone the highest praise and honor. You are God over all gods and Lord over all. We need you now more than ever to guide our path and protect your bride in these very last days. Keep us focused by your Holy Spirit power as we beseech you to hear the prayers of today's listeners, especially concerning the salvations of our loved ones. Bless our president, bless this program, and may it bring glory unto you. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, last week we said we'd catch up on the news relating to Bible prophecy, and actually in today's theater, the scenes are matching up quite well. Maybe too well, depending on what side you're on.
But we pray these radio listeners are on the right side.
We do indeed. We will also finish teaching on the authenticity of the scriptures.
Yeah, you know, last week it was scientific, medical, and archaeological evidence that only God could have dictated through the Holy Spirit, his divine word.
And tonight, we will address the prophetic writings written in some cases thousands of years before the events took place.
Now, you know, again, only God could do that.
Absolutely. And if you missed last week's program, it is archived on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Yeah, but first on our news list is President Trump. How's he fulfilling prophecy?
Well, number one, he's actually making friends with dictators, and that, of course, will help form a one-world order.
Well, that's very prophetically scriptural.
And number two, making enemies from allies that could help to fulfill Jeremiah 30:11.
Which everyone should reread on their own.
Yeah, well, with that said, he is also trying to accomplish his campaign promises and is going up against great odds. But at least it seems probable, according to the IG report, that the Russian collusion debacle seems to be over. However, the far left will just look for other things, like the current immigration spectacle, to make him look bad, which has always been their ultimate goal, to sway the midterm elections. And the bias against Trump has been confirmed by the FBI agent Strzok and his adulterous lover, Lisa Page, that texts prove.
You know, I don't understand. Why is Strzok still working there?
Well, you're not alone. But he is expected to give testimony very soon.
Okay, what's going on in Israel?
Well, still the ongoing fires, which are started by burning kites and balloons, continuing to fly into Israel from the Gazan border, resulting in hundreds of acres being destroyed and deaths of many livestock due to smoke inhalation. The Israeli army believes that attacking groups of Palestinians launching the kites and balloons, well, that would just result in too many innocent casualties. So instead, they are striking Hamas targets, which will be more effective in stopping the arson attacks, and by the way, is proving to be so.
And what about Israel's peace treaty?
Oh, yes. President Trump was going to reveal that plan right after Ramadan, which has just been over. But I just read where they decided to delay that. In my mind, it's because Trump doesn't want to fail and will be first darn sure that both parties involved will agree. And right now, apparently, the Palestinian leadership is not cooperating. But if this is God's timing, just watch what happens.
You know, and that's all we need to say at this point.
More coming soon.
Yep.
But remember, any treaty dividing Jerusalem in the last days means judgment will begin quickly.
Okay, and I understand there is an increase in an uprising going on in Iran.
Yes. And understand there are infiltrating forces instigating it. Everyone knows our government wants new leadership there for obvious reasons. But the question is, which group are the worst antagonists? Because I understand there are a few of them. So here's what you need to know. A militant group called MEK, and that stands for the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, tried to do a coup in Iran in about 1988, but the Iranian forces defeated them.
And they are still around?
Yes. They have an advocate, though, named, you'll never guess, John Bolton, who just happens to be our new security advisor, who about 8 months ago, when giving a highly paid, well, approximately like $180,000 speech to the MEK supporters, told them, oh, that he was sure they would overthrow Iran's regime and celebrate in Iran with Bolton himself present before 2019.
Well, you know, that's coming up soon.
Yeah. So anyway, the overthrow of the Ayatollah would be a good thing. But is this Marxist, vicious, cult-like MEK the best choice? The MEK earned a reputation as a cult because its members would set themselves on fire under orders from the leadership. In spite of much information of their ghastly deeds and many supporters facing criminal charges in the United States, John Bolton and probably others reportedly receive large amounts of money from this group, helped being funded also by Saudi Arabia, so to lobby for them in Iran and the United States to spark up the people. But here's the rub and why I thought you might like to hear this. Most of the people of Iran, although do want a regime change, are vehemently against it being the MEK, due to, of course, past history and its loathsome reputation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how does this affect you and me?
Well, not only would a regime change in Iran potentially cost the United States trillions of our tax dollars, and since the people really don't want MEK, gives clout to the current Iranian regime, who will just use Bolton's MEK links to encourage the people to rally behind the Ayatollah.
Especially when history comes to their mind.
Right. This MEK not only helped to take down the Shah of Iran, this organization supported Saddam Hussein of Iraq in an 8-year war that killed hundreds of thousands of Iranians and caused hundreds of billions of dollars of damage to both sides. In other words, the United States and Israel would have no guarantee that the MEK would not just revert back to its original anti-American and anti-Israeli ideology upon assuming power in Iran. The Middle East should be a constant reminder that just because a group welcomes American support to achieve its objectives on one day does not mean that they will remain pro-American the next.
Yep. You have one last thing?
I think so. Yes, you can expect another, in my opinion, another chemical attack in Syria. You know, the powers that be, they want President Assad gone for a long time, and will, in my guess, order another false flag event to be carried out by those white helmets. This whole war was mainly because Assad said no to putting in an underground oil pipeline to benefit Saudi Arabia, and the United States would get a cut. Instead, Assad said yes to Iran, and that was a no-no. And we have been helping the many anti-Assad armies ever since.
Hmm. Okay. We do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And your love offerings are very much needed and certainly appreciated. and we will be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
A plethora of information.
Yeah, that's a lot. Okay, how does prophecy prove the Bible is authentically written by God alone?
I thought you'd never ask. Well, first off, remember, Satan is a liar and a deceiver. The major lie being told today about the Bible is, oh, it's just written by man, so not inspired. Or, well, some is and some isn't. So, certain religious leaders, they can choose what is inspired and what maybe is not. Now, that is amazing to me, because many who say that, well, they're often following the writings of another person who claimed to be from God, and people believe them, even though their writings just don't pass the litmus test. You see, I know that the Bible has passed that litmus test and has proven itself above all to be supernatural. And you know what? Other books don't, because they can't.
So, what is this litmus test?
Well, it's many things, but the overwhelming thing is it's the fulfillment of hundreds of written down, very specific prophecies that Scripture contains, penned hundreds of years before they come to fruition. Now, I'm going to suggest that you read on your own Isaiah chapters 41 through 46, which talks a lot about being guided by deceivers who declare the future, or astrologers, or talking to idol statues, etc. But today let's read Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 right now, where God says that no one but He can predict the future accurately all the time, and that is how we can test His word.
Yeah, okay. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
So please grab a hold of this. God wants us to test Him, so that then we will trust His word. God would not put only half-truths in His book. And in fact, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Read that, honey.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
All Scripture.
So, how much is all?
Well, the Bible contains 1,817 individual predictions concerning 737 separate subjects.
You know, no other book has done that.
Especially without error. There is enough reason to trust the Bible. God gave a detailed description to Daniel of each succeeding empire, from Babylon through the Romans, as well as who will be the last empire when Jesus returns. The precise details alone in the history of the Israelites is enough to know that only God could have known all of that ahead of time. An example would be like each of the three long captivities, beginning with their 430 years in Egypt, Genesis 15:13, after being there just 30 years, would later be under a new Pharaoh. And then they would suffer 400 years of affliction. Again, all predicted ahead of time. Scripture also prophesies about the diaspora, which we know occurred in 70 AD. And it was predicted they would come back to their land at the end of days. Jeremiah 23:7-8, which, by the way, was written approximately 630 years before Christ. Honey, would you read that?
Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.
Yep. Another example out of many is, again, hundreds of years before it occurred, God even named the king, which was Cyrus, to Isaiah in chapters 44 and 45, who would make the decree for the Jews to go back home from Babylon after their 70 years of captivity, which was also shown to Jeremiah and then shown to King Cyrus himself. Can you imagine how he must have felt to see his name in those writings? Well, he was impressed and immediately told the Jews to go back home to start rebuilding their temple. God also predicted through Ezekiel Israel's dispersion over the last 2,000 years and their coming back to their land. And Israel became a state on May 15th, 1948. The fig tree, which is the symbol for Israel, began blooming again, leading to the final days to witness Jesus Christ's bodily return, this time, though, to set up his kingdom on earth. And the bride, that's you and me, hopefully, will accompany him upon his return, because we will escape the coming judgment according to Luke 21:36. But the best of the best is that there is over 300 prophecies concerning his first coming alone, even naming the town he'd be born in. Micah 5:2 said Bethlehem. And that was written 700 years before his birth. But come on, who but God could do that? The odds of just 3 out of 300 being correct is one chance in 120,000. But 11 correct is one chance in 10 to the 19th power. That's like 18 zeros. And many prophecies have been fulfilled just in my own lifetime. Like number one, Israel coming back to their land, and this is a big one, the knowledge explosion of Daniel 12 that says knowledge in the last days shall increase and people will be running to and fro. We are in the midst of a knowledge explosion. And you know, in about 10 to 15 hours, you can go clear across the globe. And it's our generation that saw space travel, even landing on the moon. And this is an eye-opener. Around the year 2000, some scientists met together to measure the growth of knowledge by what man has achieved throughout history in the AD years. This is cool. Anyway, from the year 0 to 1845, let's just say we had 1 inch of knowledge. Then, from 1845 to 1945, 100 years, it went up to 3 inches of knowledge. From 1945 to 1975, in just 30 years, it became 525 feet long. Then in 1976 through 1989, it became 2,400 feet long. From 1989 to 1993, it became 4,800 feet long. So it doubled in 4 years. But in 1994 through 96, just 2 years, it doubled again. And in 1997 to 1999, it again doubled. And now every 2 years, it's doubling the amount of knowledge that we have. Scripture is correct. And I want you to think about this. You know, Solomon, he traveled at the speed of horseback. He communicated by a foot messenger, made clothing through their own agriculture. And you know, 3,000 years later, Abraham Lincoln did the same thing. Not much going there. But today, we travel at the speed of sound, communicate by the speed of light, clothe ourselves with molecules made by machines designed in a laboratory, and then add to that the computers, the AI, the driverless cars, and the list is endless. So, let me ask you, has knowledge increased, particularly in this generation, like Daniel said it would? How would Daniel know all this way back then? He couldn't without God. I want to also mention that there are 900 scrolls were found in the caves next to the Dead Sea in Israel. I was there and saw the caves and viewed the scrolls now in the Israeli Museum. They are clearly written and meticulously hidden in clay pots, or were. Not now. Anyway, hundreds of years before Christ and proven by various reliable dating methods. And you know what? It matches within 3% the same Bible that we hold today. Did you know we only have 10 copies of the accounts of Julius Caesar's wars in France? Yet no one ever doubts that they occurred. And they have no problem putting it in the history books. In fact, the earliest copy that we have today of those wars was written 1,000 years after the fact. So accuracy is easily questionable. The Gospels, however, have 24,000 existing ancient manuscripts. Even so, people all through history have tried to eradicate these manuscripts. But remember Ephesians 6. And who our enemy really is. And sadly, we know in 303 AD, there was an edict from Rome that anyone caught with a Bible would be executed. So most started burning their Bibles. And even through all that, the Bible has survived far more than any other manuscript. And the length of time from the original New Testament manuscripts are only between 25 and 300 years after the fact, making the Bible far more accurate for truth than any other historical writing. We need to know this so we can be confidently credible when defending this book. And so do not be deceived, as Matthew 24 says the last day's generation will be. You stand up and defend God's word. You will be highly rewarded by Him on Judgment Day, believe me. And if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, do it now. And if you're not sure, just do it again. Be sure you don't just have a head knowledge. He's coming back soon. You're going to run out of time. And I want to read to you Numbers 6, 22 through 27. And this is the blessing that God told Moses to give to the people. And I'm going to do it in Hebrew first. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yunecha, Yasa Adonai panav eleka v'yasem maha shalom. And that says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that shalom that we all need. So, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God tells us to. And of course, pray for our president that he makes godly decisions. And remember, if you love Jerusalem, you will prosper. That's what the word says. Have a great week. Tell somebody you love them. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. Save someone from the fire of hell. And we'll see you next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.